save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. One Ravens game in the books, two other meaningless ones coming later this summer. We're in full football mode this week on Pod Like a Raven. And just like that, football games are happening on a weekly schedule. We have things to talk about. We have players to talk about. Analysis. I'm very excited to be bringing it to you here in mid-August. I am Antonio Barbera, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, starting first with Jace Evans. Jace, we'll get to the preseason game in a minute here, but I'm not going to say did you enjoy it, because I don't know how much there was to enjoy, but did you watch the football game that happened this past week involving the Ravens?
I did. I had it on the whole time. I was working during it, so I had to, you know, do some work things here and there. The ending was very funny. We might get more into the exact details of that, but it was kind of nice. You know, the preseason, we kind of talked about it in the lead up last week about how sort of, I don't want to say diminished to a degree of what it once was, I think, when we were kids, where you saw all everyone, however briefly, usually. That is not the case anymore. It is mostly an all-backup affair, an all-rookie affair. But there are still some interesting things, and it was nice to watch a game that the result didn't matter. It's a very low-pressure event, and when they lost the game in a very funny way, you just go, huh, that's kind of funny, and it doesn't eat at you. I didn't think about it pretty much until today, prepping for the show, but it was eventful. It was weird. Uneventful in the middle stretches, I'd say. Eventful at the beginning, certainly, but at the very end. But yeah, the middle, not much to write home about. But still, exciting to see, you know, the purple jerseys back out there. Excited to see football-like Ravens product out there. And we'll get into it. A few players we actually will see or hope to see when they take the field against the Chiefs for week one. So all in all, you know, nothing to write home too much about, but it was nice to just kind of get back in the swing of things, watch some football, and not have to stress about it, because we have 17 plus weeks of doing that in our future.
Yeah, back in my day, there were actual position battles for like quarterback happening in the preseason games. We don't really see too much of that anymore. Also joining, Tim Horsey. Tim, are you in weekly football game mode already or not quite yet?
No, definitely not. Not quite yet. I did watch the game back, but at the time of the game, I was floating in Lake Anna, and that was much better than I know it might be heretical to say that on a Ravens podcast. It was much better than watching Devin Leary and Josh Johnson play football. So I'm kind of glad I watched the game the way I did. Who knows where I'm at on Saturday? As of right now, no plans. So we'll most certainly try and watch it live. But I'm also not sweating if I can't catch Ravens Falcons Week 2 preseason live. I might just have to catch the full game replay back afterwards.
Well, pretty sure, Tim, that you had more completions and first downs on Friday than the Ravens did, regardless of what you were doing, because that's how kind of ugly it was. Let me pull this up. Yes, 10 completions for the Ravens in their game total among, I'm going to say two quarterbacks, but technically it's three, which we'll get into in just a minute. But before we get to kind of the takeaways of that game, a quick roster note that happened in the days after we recorded last week, where we did note in our episode, I think it was Jace saying, Rashad Bateman had like some mysterious injury at the end of practice. He had just made a great catch and it was unclear what had happened. And it was maybe a nothing thing and maybe something more significant. And then the Ravens immediately signed not one NFL receiver, but two in Russell Gage and Anthony Miller. Twitter exploded. They were fully prepared for the Rashad Bateman 6 to 8 week injury, and then before they could even hit send tweet, Rashad Bateman was back at practice like a day or two later. So, Rashad Bateman, fine. However, the Ravens now with two other, like, mostly known dudes in their wide receiver room, and I'm a little confused by it. I'm going to ask my co-host to provide me with the answers, but Anthony Miller, sort of the maybe the lesser known of the two, I didn't actually realize, has not played in an NFL game since 2021, but he is signed and is certainly a bubble type guy to make the roster. But Russell Gage, I know him. I have seen him. I have heard his name. I have watched him play football. He also did not play in 2023, but in 2022 played in 13 games with Tampa, had 51 receptions and 5 touchdowns. He is a guy that has had a real NFL career, and I don't understand where he's supposed to fit on this on this roster. Explain it to me, guys. What's happening here with these wide receiver moves?
Well, I don't think these guys are solutions to anything, but I think their signings revealed that they think they may have a potential problem, which I don't know, you know, that doesn't make you feel great, but it does, I think. The obvious guy I think we all circle back to is Tylan Wallace, who we talked about in the lead up to this week's show. Is one of the guys most on the bubble of guys who've been around the last several years. You know, they draft Devontae Walker this year, fourth round pick. And Tylan Wallace has been kicking around for, what, 3-4 years now? And so it seems like to me it's pressure on him because, like, you know, maybe you just say it's camp insurance, camp bodies, because guys like Rashad Bateman are going to get hurt. He does every year, and so you're just kind of maybe insuring against that, I suppose. But yeah, I look at Wallace and wonder what his future is. But to be fair to him, he looked a lot better in the preseason game than Devontae Walker in the sense that he caught a pass and Walker did not. So
one of those 10 golden completions.
Yeah, and it was a nice one. So that was, you know, at least nice to see. So that was like one of the very few highlights of the game. He stood out to me live watching it. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's certainly, like you said, these are two kind of professional guys, both out of football at least 1 year. Or at least at the NFL level, playing in games. So I think it's more, a little bit of pressure on Wallace, probably just more camp insurance than anything. I think we'll get into it more in a second. Camp has shown that it, even not playing your players in preseason, you can't avoid injuries because of the way football is. I think that's what this past week of preseason has taught us. So I think it's probably just a combination of the two. Maybe some pressure on Tylan Wallace, but more just maybe to get bodies, to get them through camp. Because, yeah, guys like Rashad Bateman are going to be on that side practice field doing individual drills a lot, just because that's what it seems to happen with him.
Yeah, kind of on that point, too. I think it's interesting because I think keeping 6 receivers is almost a must for the Ravens, which I know is a little bit weird to say. You know, they've always talked about, especially in the Greg Roman era, I don't know the exact numbers, but it always felt like they weren't keeping a ton of receivers, right? So it's a 5 to 6 range is typically how that balances out. But if you're keeping 5, you kind of have to be confident that Bateman's going to stay healthy the whole year, and you kind of have to imagine that Devontae Walker is going to make some sort of impact. Even with the likelihood of a double tight end set most of the time with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, who, I mean, for me, are better than any of the receivers we have. I think Isaiah Likely is more dangerous than Zay Flowers. I think it's close, but that's kind of where I put him, at least just in terms of production and what to expect out of them this year. And maybe I'm just not as high on Zay, and hopefully I'm wrong, what have you. But with all that being said, I still think they're going to keep 6. And that 6 comes down to Wallace, and it comes down to the guys like Russell Gage and Anthony Miller, like you mentioned. The fact that Wallace is such an important special teams player, I think, plays into this too. I don't know how much we're going to see of Russell Gage and or Anthony Miller playing on special teams. And as a 6th receiver on a team, you almost have to be able to contribute on that third facet of the game. And if you can't, then what are we doing here? So I kind of, The Russell Gage thing was because he had some good years in Tampa and I believe Atlanta as well. I think Twitter, you'll never guess, overreacted a little bit to that signing. I think, like Jace said, this is more bodies. And if Gage really lights it up in camp and Wallace struggles or becomes like a James Prochet, as we'll get to a little bit later in the show, maybe he makes the cut over Wallace. But for right now, I think the incumbent basically is kind of a lock here to make the team.
All right, let's look at Ravens, Eagles. 16-13, Eagles. The Ravens scoring 13 points is almost kind of, not miraculous, but something just slightly less than that. The first downs were 24 to the Eagles, 11 to the Ravens. The total plays, the Eagles ran 78 plays to the Ravens, 48. The total yards, 259 to 164. And the time of possession, 37 minutes to 22 minutes. Not a lot there offensively from the Ravens. And let's start with the biggest question mark that we had entering this game. Did we get any answers? Have we seen more from practice? The O-line. What did we like? What did we see? Did we get any sort of clarity on those questionable positions along the O-line through one preseason game?
Not really. Not any definitive answers. I think the most interesting thing to me that I guess I didn't see coming, considering they drafted a center, was that Ben Cleveland started this game, right, at center. It was their center for a large swath of this game. And now I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means, like, is he actually very much in the mix for the right guard spot and they're just seeing what they have in Daniel Falele? I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. That was kind of something I just didn't see coming. And then him lining up there with the starters and also Falele in there. And obviously Andrew Voorhees, who we talked about, him getting the start as well. He seemed fine. I don't know. It was so hard to gauge. We'll get more into it. The offense just doesn't do much when your starting quarterback and all of your starting receivers and starting running backs aren't in the game. So as you ran through those stats, Antonio, not a lot of offense to speak of. So kind of hard to gauge. But yeah, the Cleveland getting the start was interesting to me. Falele false started at one point. That amused me as they were talking on the broadcast. I had to just, in the interest of disclosure, ended up watching the Eagles broadcast of this the way I had to stream it. So they were remarking about how big he is and as he was literally false starting. It was kind of a bit of a humorous moment in the game. And how, yeah, I think Ross Tucker was on the call. He was like, oh, you know, it's hard to miss someone that big when they move, kind of thing. So it was, you know, it was, it was hard to tell if he was good or great. We saw Patrick Bakari, we saw Roger Rosengarten. People on Twitter seem to think Rosengarten played well. That's great. It seems like they haven't given him the right tackle job, but seem like they're very open to it. Voorhees basically seems like he's going to be that starting left guard. And obviously, Cleveland is not going to start at center, but the fact that he is starting at center at least makes me think he's not going to be a cut candidate, even if he isn't necessarily going to be their starting right guard either. If they think they can keep him around as a rotation piece, an emergency guard, their second option at guard, or the backup center, seems like he has a role on this team. So that was kind of the thing that jumped out to me, was just my continued, I guess, perplexion, if that's even the right word, over everything. Ben Cleveland, is he still in the mix? Maybe. I don't know. So I guess we'll see if anything changes this upcoming preseason game. But yeah, not a ton of clarity, not a ton of production, hard to kind of gauge, as you said, when they completed 10 passes. So how great was the line? I don't know. But yeah, that the Cleveland stuff was kind of the thing that really jumped out to me of everything with the offensive line.
I think one of the things that's interesting is, one, you know, Cleveland obviously being able to play multiple positions is going to help him stay on the team. And when they want Bakari as that right tackle or even like swing tackle type of guy, you know, that helps them helps them in that role as well. I want to bring up, you know, we always mention this guy Cole Jackson when we talk about offensive line. At Cole Jackson FB, he was a big Ravens fan and does a lot of offensive line stuff, which I'm a huge offensive line nerd. So I find it interesting, and Cole dives into it way more than I do. I just like watching them run into each other for the most part. He brought up this point a couple of times, which I thought was interesting. And I think this is kind of an indication with Ben Cleveland as well, because Cleveland started at center, didn't play a lot of guard, and everybody goes, oh, he might not be in the mix for right guard. This might not even be like a spot for him. Especially, we even talked about it last week with Daniel Falele getting reps at right guard. Ben Powers, before starting the entire 2022 season at left guard, played a total of 32 snaps in the preseason at either guard or center on the offensive line. Was not featured at all. And it was one of those things where the Ravens just kind of knew who they had in that left guard spot. They started him, or they didn't really play him in the preseason based on whatever, you know, whether it was not, it probably wasn't wanting to hide him or anything, but it was just basically like, we know what we got. We got to try out some other things. And maybe that's what it is with Cleveland. Maybe he is the right guard there. I think Jace nailed it. I think Voorhees is the left guard. I think he's established that. I think impressive performance in the Eagles game. I think that's going to end up, we look back like in 5 years, I think that's going to be one of the steals of that draft, a seventh round pick. And that guy's just a starting plug and play left guard for a couple of years now. And maybe Cleveland is the guy, excuse me, at right guard. You know, I think one of the other things for me too, I thought Josh Jones, from everything that I saw and just reading up on stuff from, again, guys like Cole and other guys who do offensive line work or Ravens beat reporters would have you. Josh Jones seemed to step up as a very solid backup left tackle option. Not good, not great, just solid. And if or when Ronnie Stanley gets hurt, there is a little bit of insurance there as well, which I thought was nice to see. So, you know, not a ton to take away from it. I think obviously more concerning news is the Tyler Linderbaum neck stuff that they hope he's ready for week one, but who knows? You know, obviously we're not going to see him in this preseason, I don't think. But I wouldn't say encouraged, but it seems to be maybe fleshing itself out a little bit more. But some of that comes from what we didn't see rather than what we saw.
And I think there are various scenarios where Patrick McCurry is asked to play right guard, asked to play right tackle, hell, asked to play left tackle because of some things that can happen. And then if you need a backup center at the same time, rather than shuffle everything around and have McCurry then be the center and then somebody else come, it may just be Ben Cleveland at center as the number two center if you want to keep McCurry in one of those other spots that have need. Now, if that is happening, there are probably bigger issues for this team in terms of winning football games. Let's hope we aren't just replacing, you know, 4 out of 5 offensive linemen, or at that point, like all 5 offensive linemen from 1 year to the next. But if you are a fringe player, boy, trying to get snaps at other positions and showing that you can do it, the Patrick Ricard model, if you will, is gonna help you stick on a team if you're a fringe roster guy. Other positions and other players that we noticed in this game. I think the biggest name that stood out for good reasons and then for some scary reasons, Nate Wiggins, our first round draft pick. I also kind of forget that we have just like a talented first rounder who might be plug and play. Nate Wiggins was the star of the, I don't know, first half, the first few drives for the Ravens, was sticking to wide receivers. He already seems to understand how much holding he can get away with without a flag being thrown, which typically takes years to master. And then for some reason was still in the game late or halfway through the third quarter and had a small injury that, again, everybody was terrified. Is he deceased? Do they have to amputate? Turns out it was pretty minor and he should be fine. We'll maybe miss a couple of days of practice. But Nate Wiggins, guys, very nice to see your first round pick playing, looking comfortable, and kind of being a star as much as you can in a preseason game.
Yeah, he was the story of this game, and you know, I was texting you guys, trying not to blow up your phones, but certainly of the early action, he was the story. You know, he has 3 pass breakups on that first drive, and you're thinking, all right. And then, yeah, of course, he's still at the game after halftime and gets hurt. And you know, for me, that was kind of, I think, part of the fear is maybe even being manifest in real time, where you're like, oh, he is too small. He makes a basic tackle, trips up a guy, and has just immediately hurt his shoulder in his first NFL game. Of course that happened. He weighs 100 pounds or whatever. But, you know, no, but it was certainly good early. And for a game that, you know, we just kind of talked about with the line, very low on offensive highlights, to see him, you know, I mean, and be challenged right away. I think it was, you know, Kenny Pickett's the other quarterback, not great guy, player by any means, but some pseudo veteran at this point, a few seasons under his belt, and enough to know that, hey, I'm going to target this rookie quarterback playing his first game. It's like probably our best way to generate yards. And for Wiggins to, you know, hold his own on some of those attempts, it was really nice to see. So, yeah, the injury certainly a concern. As I said, played into some of my worst fears. I think within myself and Ravens Twitter, dug up some just lingering issues with John Harbaugh in general, probably. But yeah, I was impressed. I was very pleased. And, you know, you just picture that what with all the other actual starters around him, and it's a promising sign. So yeah, I don't think you could ask for more really from your first round pick, other than it would have been great to leave without any injury scares. But as you said, shoulder sprain is what they're calling it. He should be fine, certainly by the start of the regular season. Not sure if we'll see him in the rest of the preseason at this point, but from what we saw, at least certainly a promising start.
Yeah, it's funny because in the moment, the injury kind of ruined just the absolute love fest that Ravens / draft Twitter was having with Nate Wiggins, which is always funny because, you know, I tend to believe people when you look at these things. And I wasn't following or watching the game live, but we were kind of just hanging out. So I was getting texts from Jace, which, by the way, no worries on blowing up the phone when it's good news. So always appreciate that. and like checking Twitter and looking like little highlights and stuff while we're all just hanging out. And then you see people that like all of a sudden are like, I knew Nate Wiggins was going to be the guy. And instead of being a pessimist about it, it like kind of reaffirms you of like, oh man, we did get a good one. Good job, Ravens. You look at like Mina Kimes doing the meme of like the guy talking in the mirror. Like I would, and I'm just going to read her verbatim because she's much smarter than me. You will not take a Nate Wiggins victory lap after one drive of preseason football. So people are steamed up about this, and it got me really excited. Just, you know, even watching on delay and seeing like the Twitter highlights and stuff, you know, afterwards as well, not being able to watch the game live, it was one of those of like, it was the first time, because again, I wasn't even that upset to be missing this game just because we know what these preseason games have turned into. But then seeing those plays, you're just like, oh man, it's so close. It's so close. And this guy's making these types of plays. And then it kind of got soured a little bit with the injury, but like you said, the in the moment love fest was gone, but now everything seems to be okay. I will just say, I'm even looking at a screen cap right here of like the defense lining up, the 11 on the field. Doesn't look that small. Doesn't look that small. These are dumb fan eyes, but doesn't look that small. So I'm cool with it. Kind of like when I talked about last week, seeing Kyle Hamilton the first time in a positive manner, being like, oh my God, that guy's so big. This guy, not small. So very happy with that. At least not so small. But as Jace did mention, it looked like he was lining up against like John Ross a couple of times or somebody very tiny. So who knows exactly what was going on there. But the Wiggins thing is so interesting because if he does pan out as an outside corner that you can just sit and put there, I think it opens up so much for this Ravens team that, face it, is already facing some injury issues with the corners. TJ Tampa just came back. His first practice was on Monday. First training camp practice was on Monday, I should say. It looks like Arthur Millette, who plays a lot of slot corner, is going to miss the start of the year with an injury. So having Nate Wiggins healthy, I think in three cornerback sets, you can almost line him up as a guaranteed starter. Him on the outside, Brandon Stevens on the outside, and put Marlon Humphrey, a man who needs to have a better season, back in that slot where he thrives so, so well. That allows Kyle Hamilton to be freed up to not just necessarily play a lot of slot corner. It just gives Zach Orr and that defense options. And man, it was just so cool to see. Now, I don't want to get overhyped and like obviously we get into week four and he's getting torched by every wide receiver too, left, right, and center. And then we're having a little bit of different conversation. But man, just seeing that and seeing him make plays, albeit against Kenny Smallhands Pickett, it was it was pretty it got you fired up, even in a preseason game. As fired up as you can be, I guess.
Another player who, at least I was curious to see in this game, Trenton Simpson. Some good, some not so good. Let's start with the biggest issue. He's wearing number 23, and this man is a linebacker. And the one like negative for him coming out of college was like, oh, he might be a little undersized. Don't wear the number of a position group of undersized players. It's only going to make you look more undersized. He looks like a large safety. He looks like Tony Jefferson put on a few pounds. however, did lead the team in tackles, had 11 tackles. You know, maybe this is not the most sophisticated statistical analysis, but 11 tackles, only 5 solo tackles. A lot of it kind of cleaning up messes, a lot of it kind of done with some other guys around, but certainly good to see him just get reps, get snaps, make some tackles, make some plays, get some hits in, and just be a starter for week one. One of the few, I would say, guaranteed starters who played in this game. So nice to see him get some plays in. And then one other group that I need to talk about here, and I'm going to let my co-host dive in a little bit deeper, is the quarterback position. And no, I do not mean Lamar Jackson. I have no problems with him as long as he's drinking his orange juice in the morning, getting some vitamin C, and trying to have some fewer sicknesses and illness injury designations throughout the year. It's the backup position. I'm not confident in Josh Johnson as a backup quarterback. I'm not confident in Devin Leary, who was a 5th, 6th, 7th round draft pick with some question marks this year. Emory Jones had one snap in this game. I believe he only had one snap in this game, and it was he's put in an impossible position with like 15 seconds left. Go try to throw a Hail Mary in a tie ball game. Instead, immediately gets strip sacked, loses the ball, and the Eagles kick a game-winning field goal. It was too perfect for a fringe player. Just the frustrations of that type of job and that type of expectation. But my point is, it's not good behind Lamar Jackson. And so my, you know, around the horn PTI question to my co-hosts is, does this really matter? Is this something that they still need to address? Or is it, guess what? If your backup quarterback is playing football games in the NFL, you're probably not going anywhere anyway. How do I rationalize this? What do the Ravens do? Or is it kind of moot? And the point is, keep your number one upright and everything else will kind of work itself out.
Unless you can get a Ryan Tannehill type player, who again is, by the way, still a free agent, on the exact same deal that Josh Johnson is on, I think this is a moot point. Because I think basically what happens is they're paying a lot of other guys, including the starting quarterback, at a lot of other positions, and you had to make sacrifices somewhere. And some teams believe that the backup quarterback position is very important. And the Ravens simply don't. Because a mini what's bothering Tim here. We're not going to go. This is preseason what's bothering Tim, not full regular season what's bothering Tim. Every comment of every Instagram post from this game you saw was, if Lamar goes down, we're screwed, man. If Lamar goes down, we're toast. Yeah. Duh. Like, absolutely. We've done this multiple times down the road. When Lamar goes down, even with a quote-unquote better backup in Tyler Huntley, which, by the way, he's still in a quarterback battle with Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson, so it's not like he's guaranteed to make a team anytime soon. They weren't winning football games. Lamar Jackson is that much of a game changer that anybody in a backup role is going to be a significant downgrade. And I don't see the value in overpaying for a guy that, you know, if the Ravens are going to be successful, at minimum, or at maximum, I should say, plays what, 3-4 games? Like, if Lamar Jackson misses more than 4 games, the season's over. And if he misses 4 games, the season's probably over. Like, it just probably is. And so I don't understand this whole, we got to get somebody in there better because Lamar has an injury history, and who knows. That's not how this is going to work with the salary cap of this team. It's just not. They're paying too many other guys in too many other places. They're a very solid, deep football team that guys get expensive because they are good, and that's what happens. And I just don't – I don't see it of, like, bringing a Tannehill so he can maybe start for five games. If he's starting for five games, the season is over anyway. So what does it matter?
Yeah, I feel you. I guess if I only have any pushback, and it's not much because all your points are really good, but it is, I think our backup situation is particularly bad, even amongst other teams that do have high priced. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts, just the team we played, like, I don't love Kenny Pickett, but he's a first round pick, what, in his third, fourth season? I think he's certainly better than a 37 or 38 year old Josh Johnson or a rookie Devin Leary when it comes to backups. And Jalen Hurts is on the deal we modeled Lamar's contract on. His was the deal that got Lamar signed, basically. So I get your point because we all remember the 2022 season, that they managed to beat the Falcons in an Arthur Smith special with Desmond Ridder under center. And that got the Ravens into the playoffs. And that was, I want to say, the most miserable season of my life. Yeah, they didn't even enough to make the playoffs. And that season was just so not enjoyable and so lacking fun I completely agree with you. If Lamar gets hurt, the season's over. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. But I guess just as a fan of what, like, I'll watch this team even if Lamar goes down. I do want someone just a little better than what we saw on Friday night, if possible. But like you said, I don't know if that is possible. I will say, Zdravik's brought this Tannehill thing up multiple times now. And that's one of those things where I'm like, does he, like, know something? Like, they keep constantly talking to him? Or is this just, like, an idea he has? Or it's just, like, he's the only kind of semi-competent, like, veteran that's kind of still floating out there. I don't know what it is, but it's at least notable that, you know, one of the most plugged-in Ravens reporters has brought up Ryan Tannehill's name multiple times in the last month and a half or so. So I don't know. I don't want to say keep an eye on that because I don't know that it means anything. But it is just something I wanted to make note of because it intrigues me when a guy like Jeff, who is so plugged in, floats something like that. It always just makes me pause and say, well, what does he know? What's going on here? If they can get Tannehill for cheap, if they could get him on the Josh Johnson contract, by all means, that would be a marked improvement over Josh Johnson.
Sure.
Even if he's not that much younger, really. Tannehill's, what, 36? Something like that. He's not that much younger. But he is better, certainly, than Josh Johnson. Because, that was... You ran through the numbers, Antonio, but Johnson was, what, 4 for 12, right? Devin Leary went 6 for 10, but for, like, half as many yards. So it was a real not great display from either guy. And it just made this game a real slog that I don't want to say I checked out of while watching, but the Ravens had 6 straight 3-and-outs in this game. And so you're, like, you're trying to, like, outside of, you know, luckily the two guys I was most concerned about, we just talked about, Wiggins and Trenton Simpson, and I enjoyed seeing them, so you got to see them a lot. But yeah, there was pretty much nothing going on the offensive side of the ball this game outside of the line where you're like, I care about this, or it really even holds any long-term meaning, because there was hardly any skill position guys, at least certainly in the receiver ranks outside of Wallace, who did anything. So yeah, the quarterback thing, I agree with everything Tim said, when you pay your quarterback $50 million, if he goes down, the season's over. So it's not worth getting too hung up on, but I do think our backups are a step below even most other teams' backups. It was rough. It was really rough, especially like the Eagles, they're not playing a ton of starters. They had a few out there like Nolan Smith and, who's the big guy?
Jalen Carter.
Yeah, he played. Our good friend N'Kobe Dean was around. I saw him flash a few times. But But yeah, so it was just, it was a brutal kind of slog. And certainly, at least I think it brings up the topic, Tim, just because when it was that bad and nothing was going on every time the Ravens had the ball, the fans had to talk about something. And I think that was just the topic they latched onto on Friday night.
The last thing I'm going to add to try to, stoke the fire, but also tie a bow, tie the bow, light it on fire, throw it away. The Lamar Jackson injuries, and I say this with no inside knowledge of, Lamar's like inner circle, his two season ending injuries were both, he might come back this week, he might come back this week, he might come back, and then 7 weeks in and he never came back. You can't tell me that it wasn't at least 5, 10, 20% contract related. He now has the contract. He has two MVPs. The only thing he wants right now, and we know this, is a Super Bowl. If he has an injury, if he has a knee sprain in October, he will want to come back in December and go on a playoff run and try to win a Super Bowl. With that being the case, do you have confidence that the current backup quarterback, if your team is going to have five games without Lamar Jackson, but he's coming back in December, can the quarterback you have behind him, does he have a chance to win two out of those five games? And I do not think Josh Johnson has any shot of winning two out of five games. He has one win in his entire NFL career as a starter. He's 38 years old. He is 1-8 in his career as a starter. His one win came in 2018. You have to have something. Even Huntley had some moments and had some games that he pulled out in that kind of position. And I do not think that they can do that with Josh Johnson. And so I would love it. I would like somebody else that instills a tiny bit of confidence and that the team looks at him and says, okay, we have somebody that can, we can maybe do this. We can maybe win this game, win a couple of games, stay afloat, and stay in the playoff race or whatever, because you just want to get a ticket to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. I do not see it with the current quarterbacks that they have behind Lamar Jackson. We will see in the following weeks. I'm not holding my breath about them making any sort of changes because they've had Josh Johnson a few different times on this football team. So that tends to mean something from an organizational standpoint. Okay. One other thing that I want to talk about, because I don't know if we've discussed it even once on the show, and we finally saw it in action from the Ravens, and it's the new kickoff rule. This new kind of fun, kind of stupid new kickoff rule that they have. It was amazing to just watch the Ravens' first public attempt at it be a mistake. Justin Tucker just boots the hell out of the ball. It's a touchback with the returner catching it in the end zone, which means the ball gets placed at the 30-yard line, as opposed to if it had bounced in the quote-unquote landing zone, which is somewhere, outside of the end zone. If it bounces into that zone and then bounces into the end zone and is a touchback, then they get it at the 20. So Tucker booms it, immediately shaking his head, makes a mistake, kind of hilarious. One side of this coin, I'm sad that we're just not going to see Justin Tucker bombs just over and over and over again anymore, really. That's just not going to be a thing that he does, except for maybe a late game situation when you just don't want them to return it for a touchdown. And you just want a guaranteed touchback, but kind of don't think we're going to see it very often. The other side of the coin, I look forward to the Ravens messing this up in a regular season game and us getting a priceless John Harbaugh meme facial expression as a special teams, special teams guru. What do you guys think of this? Are we going to enjoy returns, or is this just kind of like, this feels like a flag football game?
As a Ravens fan, absolutely not, because we've been screaming to just kick the ball out of the end zone since we started this podcast, because they can't cover kicks. Never been able to. Maybe we should just have Russell Gage, because it's not like Tylan Wallace can cover kicks anyway. So just Russell Gage is the more accomplished guy. Just get him there. No, I'm not going to enjoy any of this. I think we're going to get used to it by like week two, but then in week five, you're going to have your dad ask you about it, because he's like, what in the tarnation is going on over here? That's not how my dad speaks, so that's kind of close. And I just think that I hate, like, returns are cool, great. I know what they're doing, and good on the guys who make it as return men getting chances in the league. The Steelers immediately went and got Cordell Patterson, which is just beyond annoying. We got Deontay Hardy, who hasn't even been able to practice, really, so that's super fun. But that part will be fun, but I just know we can't cover kicks, so that part will stink. Also, over under next season, because I don't know how these deals usually work, but by next season, this is called the Lowe's Landing Zone, right? Or some other company that starts with L. Like, it's absolute, or like, it's a airline or something. Like, American Air Landing Zone, or some something like that. The Southwest Landing Zone. Each like, CBS will have their own, Fox will have their own, NBC will have their own, whatever. It's absolutely getting sponsored, right? Like, that's like 90% of the reason we did this, right?
That soft touchback brought to you by Mattress Firm.
Yes, there it is.
You know, you find the right firmness for you. Or it's whoever does the sponsorship. They have an NFL. What is the company that, like, Dak Prescott does the, like, the Sleep Number bed or whatever? Isn't that actually the NFL's?
Like, yeah, they do have a partnership company with Sleep Number.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jace, any thoughts on the return rule?
It does just, I get all the justifications for it. It's supposedly safer. It really hasn't produce, like, no one's scored a touchdown yet off of any of these returns in the first weekend of games. I don't know if it was explicitly designed for that, but we will screw it up, that's for sure. But the thing I just can't escape is it does, Tim, you kind of mentioned it, it does just seem very, like, Pop Warner, like, football, like a childhood football game or something. Like, you have these professional, like, and I think it'll just take time for me to get used to it, because they've been doing they've tinkered with it here and there, where they kick off from, all that, the wedge, things you can and can't do on kickoffs anymore. But it's been more or less the same kind of idea for 100 years or however long the kickoff has been in place. And so now to just see the two teams standing 10 yards apart as two guys just wait for the kick, it is just a little, you know, stuff we're not used to, I think. It looks wrong. It looks weird. It looks like not something that should be happening or is supposed to be happening on an NFL field. I know I'll get used to it, and I'll be annoyed by it, because I do think we'll find ways to screw it up. I think we'll fumble more on kickoffs, certainly. Rasheen Ali put a ball on the turf off a kickoff during this game. Luckily, he was down by contact. It was kind of a ground-caused a fumble situation, but still, ball squirted out on a return, which didn't feel good watching it live. And I think that'll happen a lot. So, yeah, it'll take, I think, a lot of getting used to, just because it's, we haven't seen, like, this, I feel like, radical a change with something. Like, the NFL, more than most sports, is kind of constantly tinkering with rules, often to mixed results. But this is, like, one of their bigger overhauls of anything in quite a while, I feel like. So, I don't know if I'll ever fully get used to it. I say that, but then probably by, you know, after watching 100 games by midseason, I'll probably kind of not think about it too much anymore. But it is just very strange to watch for now. And yes, I think we'll find ways to, I don't know, get flags on it, screw it up, give up returns, all the kind of good hallmarks the Ravens are known for. Giving up a long return, giving up a 70-yard return after tying the game, that kind of thing. Some of our favorite blasts from Ravens past, but yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely strange. And yeah, to what Tim said, I'm very excited for your relatives to find, who aren't watching preseason football games, to find out about this. Like, yeah, have like your aunts and uncles and grandpa be like, what's going on with this?
Here's the thing too. For those of you that like to watch with other people and or, you know, host people or go to people's houses or what have you, you're probably not going to do that on the Thursday night opener. Maybe if you're a younger listener or you're in college, God bless you. These are the fun ones. Cause then you just skip all your Friday classes after staying up too late when the Ravens definitely beat the Chiefs. But like that one is going to be crazy. Cause I think even my dad's friends, my friends who are a bit older, who are in tune, are Ravens, like actual real Ravens fans, know the moves they've been making and stuff. I even think some of them are going to be like, what the hell is going on here? Why are they lining up offside? Like, what's the deal?
Why aren't they running?
Yeah, why aren't they running? I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens here.
Yeah, Tim, you talked about dads earlier. I feel like the word rinky-dink is going to come from my dad at some point.
That's a good one.
And once he sees it a couple of times and decides to hate it. all right. But yeah, oh my gosh, X, Twitter, whatever, is going to explode on that Thursday night when America tunes into the NFL for the first time and starts seeing that.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to do a quick just kind of check-in on the injuries, because some guys have gotten hurt and then they've not been so hurt and then they have been hurt worse than we thought, to kind of get up to date on that. And then just right after it, I'm going to ask my co-host for a name or two. They can provide however many or few that they want. But the name that I need is a nomination for an award that we kind of accidentally created 3 years ago, and then again 2 years ago, and then last year we were maybe a bit more specific with it, and it's the James Prochet Award. And this is given every year to a certain player who flashes in the offseason, be it, you know, the mini camp, the training camp, preseason games, the practices, whatever you want to do, open practice with the fans. He looks like he is going to win Offensive or Defensive Player of the Year, and then basically does absolutely nothing in the actual regular season, or even worse, is an actual detriment to your football team in the regular season. The award is named after James Prochet. We don't have to get into it. You all saw it year after year. So I'm going to ask my co-host to start thinking of, I didn't give him a ton of prep time on this, but start thinking of a few potential nominees for this award. And then when we have our final episode before the week one preview, we'll give out the award to the actual winner of it. But quickly for the injuries, Rashad Bateman, talked about him earlier, thought he might have been out for the next five seasons. He came back to practice 2 days later. Kyle Hamilton was hurt in practice, and that was a little terrifying because it looked like one of those, like, ooh, he fell down with no one around him injuries. He seems to have gotten away with sort of nothing long-term or super scary, but I think we will see him not doing very much at all for the rest of August. Arthur Millett, Tim mentioned earlier, a little bit of had some knee soreness, knee discomfort. He got a little scope, cleaned that out a little bit, as you do, and he will be out for an unclear number of weeks, but unlikely to be ready to go to start the season. TJ Tampa, off the physically unable to perform list, which I think was kind of surprising to us. We envisioned him just kind of hanging out on that list for quite a long time. He's just off of it, looking to get back to practice. And then David Ojabo, who tore his ACL last fall, he has essentially been, is a full participant, has been like declared a full participant in practice, but has not been cleared for games yet. Boy, would it be nice to have one healthy season of David Ojabo, both from the potential that we saw in him and also the need at that position group. My goodness. So those are some of the names. I don't know if you guys have any other ones that you want to bring up. I think we said Lamar Jackson was sick. He's back. We noted that one already. Any other names or injuries or even stuff that I've missed about the preseason game or other things that you want to go over?
Yeah, the only two, Jeff Cerebic had some updates yesterday that Rasheen Ali and Sanusi Kane, their first round picks, both suffered stingers. Kane's pretty bad. That was probably the scariest moment outside of the Wiggins injury. Was he knocked himself out real bad, lowering his helmet into a guy on a poor tackle attempt against the Eagles. So that was scary. Luckily, it's only a stinger. That's kind of best case scenario for that. And then, Tim mentioned at some point Tyler Linderbaum hurt his neck, which is concerning as a lineman. The phrasing Zarebic used was Ravens being cautious but feel good about week one, which makes me feel not good. So I mean, Hamilton and Linderbaum are obviously the two guys I'm most concerned about. Mallett will miss regular season games. They basically said that. And that's a problem for, you know, it is good to see Tampa back. As you said, that's a guy we thought we weren't going to see. So knowing, like, our secondary is already taking injury hits with Hamilton and Mallett, probably out for the preseason. To get Tampa actually back, that was kind of an encouraging sign and something I didn't see coming. I still think he'll be pretty far behind. Just the final thing to just touch on, you mentioned the need for Ojabo, and Zarebic wrote about this in sort of his roster projection, and I agree with him that the pass rush is becoming, for me, assuming the secondary doesn't completely fall apart to injuries here in the preseason, is, I think, my greatest concern. I'm not going to tip my James Prochet Award. I have a potential nominee from the pass rush ranks, like you said, they need Ojabo, and the fact that I think that was a surprise for a lot of people entering Friday night, and was something Harbaugh had to kind of address after the game, because everyone assumed we'd see him and then he's not out there. And, you know, it's always kind of weird when you're cleared to do one thing medically but not the other, and you're like, where's the disconnect? What has to happen? It's very unclear. That's where I think I have some concern, just because they are really relying on Adafa Owe to have a big season, and it concerns me because I don't think he's going to have a big season. That's kind of just, yeah, my run around my thoughts on the injuries thing. The Hamilton thing seems scary. Luckily, it seems they escaped too serious, but I agree. He'll be on ice, I think, the rest of the season or preseason, and hopefully Linderbaum works his way back so he's ready for week one too, because with all the questions we've run through on the offensive line, where we don't know who three of the starters are for sure yet, the last thing they need is their Pro Bowl center to be hurt. Linderbaum and Hamilton certainly are like two of their 10 best players, so they have my greatest concerns, obviously, but all the other ones, I guess this was just, I mentioned to you guys pre-show, this wave of injuries kind of sent me into a dark place with this team. My thoughts on the Ravens and Orioles are in separate spots. I am a positive O's fan more than a lot of people. I'm a negative Ravens fan more than a lot of people. And the thing I just kept thinking, reading through all these injuries and thinking about them in the past day or so, was the pain of last year and the idea of last year being a missed opportunity came to the surface of my head, because they had, by NFL standards, a really healthy season, and you get to, as far as they did, 13 wins, AFC title game, come up short, and then you start the next year and you're like, hey, like, already two of your best players are hurt in preseason, not in games, even in preseason, just preseason training camp, and also your number two wide receiver's hurt, and you just have to deal with all these things. And it just kind of and then you read about Nelson Agholor dropped so many passes today, Lamar Jackson threw his helmet, and it just made me think about missed opportunities and get negative, that we avoided the injury bug last year and were great, and they didn't the prior two seasons, and those seasons stunk, and now I'm afraid we're heading towards a stinky season, and I can't kind of shake that nagging feeling. So that's kind of just my hope the rest of training camp is this is as bad as the injuries get, but it just seems like every day you look and more guys are hurt. So I don't know. I guess at least Tampa's healthy and maybe Ojabo's coming back. That's some positives. But yeah, the injury list sent me down a dark place thinking about the end of last season and just this idea of missed opportunities and what's potentially lying ahead, which is sadness. So yeah, that's that's where I went with all the reading about all these injuries. So I don't know. Sent me spiraling, to say the least.
This sadness for you to just lie down in a ball, brought to you by Mattress Firm. Comfortable mattresses for you to get some sleep in the middle of the day when you're a little bit sad about how the Ravens may be before the season starts. And also Mattress Firm, you can reach out at any time if you're interested. Let's get to it. Early nominations for the James Prochet Award. Tim, you are up first. Who do you have for us?
I'm going to go with Owen Wright. Owen Wright, the running back, who actually kind of was more effective than draft pick Rasheen Ali. It's kind of been the big hot debate of like, oh, Owen Wright seems to have a little bit more pop than the guy they drafted, Rasheen Ali. Maybe he takes that third running back spot after Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. Here's a quiz for you guys, because I ended up looking it up because I could not remember. Do you guys remember a couple of years ago, the Ravens running back who blew up in the preseason? Absolutely blew up. People were like, this guy should be part of the rotation with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins when healthy. This guy is going to be one of those dudes in the preseason. He was always lighting it up, always lighting it up. We talked about him on this podcast multiple times. And I think he fumbled once in the regular season and we never saw him again. Can you name that player? Because before I looked it up, I didn't know this guy's name, which was the exact undrafted guy, just like Owen Wright. And it was my reasoning for why Owen Wright is the same case here of guy everybody talks about a month here. And then we don't hear from again because the Ravens stick with their draft pick because the competition's close enough. They're going to go with the guy they drafted. Can you, either of you, name this guy who I'm thinking of? I'll give you a number, too. Number 34 is what he wore. Can you tell me who it was?
That's so weird. I would have guessed that number, that like without kind of, you know, trying to just show off that was the number I was going for. I don't have any name. Did he have long hair, by any chance?
He did not, no.
Okay. All right. Then I'm not sure.
So this was the guy, I didn't remember what he did in preseason, but the only guy, because I just was trying to think of running backs who aren't those guys, did Tyson Williams have a great preseason?
Tyson Williams is the guy who was blowing up in preseason, and we all thought this was going to be the dude that he's going to be like the Ravens' number one guy. He's going to turn out to be another Alex Collins, another 34 with long hair, Antonio, who you might be thinking
of. Oh, you
go.
That might have been it, yeah.
Turns out, Tyson Williams was not anything. Currently, he is a 27-year-old who is, let me see, free agent. He is a free agent right now. No team has him. So my nominee is Owen Wright. I don't want to obviously wish ill will if he keeps improving and the gap separates between him and Rasheen Ali for that third running back spot. By all means, I hope he gets it. But I think this is one of those guys that come hell mid-September, we'll forget his name.
So my nominee is not, I guess, super rare, but it's more just in the kind of hype bunny camp of just guys we hype up. And I mentioned him offhand. I mean, I think taking over from James Prochet, a yearly nominee for this award could be Adafe Owe, the king of camp. He's always in the mix.
Ouch.
And I feel like in a similar vein, Rashad Bateman is often in this category as well, where people can't stop saying how good he looks in preseason. But I thought of a nominee that I'm going to nominate in part to maybe make you guys mad, but just a thought experiment I had. And the guy I am thinking of is Isaiah Likely, our number two tight end. Amongst our fan base is just heralded as like the next coming of Rob Gronkowski. And yet, let me just run through his career stats for you all for a bit. In his rookie season, he had 36 receptions for 373 yards, and he did manage 3 touchdowns. And in last year, which we all thought he was great once Mark Andrews went down, he had 30 catches for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. This guy is the definition of a backup tight end, at least in terms of production. And I guess I like him. I personally do like him. But I need to see it. I need to see him and Mark Andrews have production on the field at the same time. I have to see it to believe it. It's just this idea we have that he's just this like game-breaking offensive player, and I feel like he's proven he's a significant step below Mark Andrews in terms of having the trust of the team and the quarterback and all that. So I don't know. Certainly he shined once Mark Andrews went down last year, but that's the problem. They need to both be on the field. Because, Tim, you said, talent-wise, I do think they're two of our three most talented receivers. I'll throw Zay in the group with them. But all the other receivers, not so much. But I don't know. It's just like I love Isaiah Likely as a player, but I also think, at least amongst our fan base, he is talked about in a way that I think is probably a little bit kind of sort of overblown and doesn't quite jive with like the production he actually brings to the table in his two seasons. So maybe a controversial pick, but I'll nominate Isaiah Likely as my James Prochet Award because he's dominating the preseason again. You know, every training camp practice, it's all about Lamar to Likely touchdowns, but let's see it in games more, I guess.
Did I immediately regret saying that he's more important than Zay Flowers? Yes. Will I take it back? No, because I'm going to stick to my word here on this podcast. But I will say, Jay saying that makes me feel a little bit uneasy about putting that out into the ether earlier on in this podcast. Hopefully you're still listening to this point and understand that, like, I am a gremlin. I am a Ravens gremlin that thinks Isaiah Likely is very, very good. But you make some very good points, Jace. We'll have to see it.
To be fair, I'm kind of being a devil's advocate a little bit. I do like this player, but it was more like just a thought of exercise for me of thinking about, like, who do we hype up too much? And I'm like, yes, we do overhype Adafe Owe and Rashad Bateman. But I also feel like I get in on the Isaiah Likely hype. And I don't know that it's quite as justified. I'm not in the same boat as personally hyping the likes of Adafe Owe and Rashad Bateman. I've kind of given up on those two players about a year ago. So
it can't be the James Prochet Award if you've given up on them entirely.
Yeah, exactly. I still have a lot of hope for Likely, but yeah, I do want to see him and just them figure that out this year. And then I'll believe it, and I'll never be a nominee for this award again.
You know what, Jace? I'm just going to, you know, respectfully, I'm going to disagree. He is a backup tight end on a team that runs the ball more than anybody and throws the ball less than anybody. He's never going to have 80 receptions as the second tight end on a Ravens football team. But he flashes, Jace. He flashes and he breaks tackles. And boy, doesn't he catch and run like a wide receiver with a tight end body. But yeah, no, certainly. And it's just a nomination. We'll see, you know, maybe this will hold even more weight by the time we get to early September. Okay, I am up. I have two quickly. And they're kind of different, very different situations. And they're miles away from what Jace was going through with actual starters and guys with contracts and all that stuff. My first James Prochet nominee is one of those who's that guy from last week. And it's Evandy Rigby. An inside linebacker who was third on the team in tackles in the first preseason game, had 7 total tackles, 4 solo tackles, and he did all that in only 21 snaps. That is an undrafted free agent taking advantage of his opportunity, shining with the lights bright in the preseason, and he has no chance of making this eventual roster. I know I'm kind of kidding around and laughing, but it's more of just he's doing the most that he possibly can to try to get a roster spot, and maybe I get proven wrong, but it just seems like numbers-wise, he's like 5th or 6th on the inside linebacker depth chart, so he's certainly climbing uphill, but playing very well. So he hasn't made the James Prochet mistake necessarily, but the mistake is for us in believing in him and believing in the Ravens for keeping him on the roster after playing well in the preseason. And then my other one is sort of the inverse. It's Devontae Walker. I saw a lot of tweets about him looking good in the practices. A lot of good stuff. The social team put out him with like a long touchdown reception. And I was like, ooh, Tez Walker doing stuff. He had 0 catches and 1 target in the first preseason game. And I have my concerns about him being a legitimate wide receiver as a rookie, mid-round draft pick from the Baltimore Ravens. Like, we haven't exactly drafted receivers well, much less in later rounds, and I just have a hunch that he's going to be a potential non-factor as a rookie on the offensive side of the ball, but I would love to be proven wrong. So we'll see how that continues throughout the preseason, because now he's got a little bit more competition breathing down his neck in terms of who's going to be wide receiver, you know, 4, 5, 6, what have you. So those are my two early nominations. We will see what happens as we get closer and closer to that terrifying week 1 game against the Kansas City Chiefs that I keep just getting, you know, I'm watching the Olympics, it's NBC, and then I just get just caught off guard with the ad for the first game, you know, the season kicks off on NBC, Ravens Chiefs, and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't need 60 minutes and then another, just dovetailing into another 60 minutes of a Chiefs game, both on the road. I just don't need it. But that's what will be happening. However, before that, we have one more thing to talk about, and it's another preseason game. It's Ravens. It's Falcons. It's Saturday. Not much to talk about. Kind of will be the same as the first game. No starters, if any. Maybe one or two, but probably zero starters will play in this game. Just one question for you guys as we wrap things up. Who needs to shine in this game? Who will get opportunities and needs to use them to try to stick on this roster or try to grab one of those maybe starting positions or backup roles that you will be watching specifically?
I'll just go quickly. Just in general, sounds stupid to say, but if it's the same kind of rotation we got on the offensive line, just somebody on that right side making a statement. Now, again, I mentioned this earlier, that it's been mentioned before. Maybe it's just Ben Cleveland, and they're just going to start him at right guard, and they're trying out some other stuff with him, and everybody's fighting for the backup spot, but I would like to see somebody separate. I think at this point in time, it seems that we've got four of the positions locked up, with two essentially rookies. Voorhees coming off the knee injury, drafted last year, not this past offseason. Stanley, Voorhees, Linderbaum, blank, Rosengarten is kind of what it looks like here. Just to start, let's see somebody take that right guard spot. And if it is Cleveland and they're all just kind of putting the wool over our eyes, and trying him out at center a little bit, cause they already know he's the right guard, somebody to be in that backup role, because they're going to rotate. Obviously you rotate on that offensive line. People don't understand that, I think, because you just don't notice it as much, but they're going to need some guys to really step up. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for. Same thing as we did against the Eagles, but that's what this offseason is about.
Yeah, I'll be watching Trenton Simpson again, certainly. Wiggins, as we said, not likely to play in this game.
Don't play. He's done. We get it.
Yeah, so Simpson, I believe he wore the green dot for the first game, so that's kind of interesting. And like you guys said, he was pretty much the only starter, now with Wiggins probably out too, that we're likely to see in this game. I do think that two of your guys' James Prochet Award nominees are kind of worth keeping an eye on. Owen Wright, Tim, is going to probably get a lot of run, especially if Ali's out with a stinger, if that kind of holds him out of this game or impacts his lead up to the game. He's going to get a lot of opportunities in this game. And then to one of your nominees, Antonio, Devontae Walker, not good to not have a catch. I know we talked about the quarterback play wasn't good, but, you know, Tylan Wallace was the highest guy on the depth chart that played in this game, in the first game, and you know, he only had, what, the two catches, one of only two guys with multiple catches outside of Dayton Wade. certainly Wallace-Walker competition. I don't think they'd cut Walker by any means. It's pretty rare for a fourth-round pick, but, you know, we kind of ran through that receiver situation, and it's like, if he just shows them absolutely nothing on the field, like, I don't know. I don't know that it's guaranteed they'd keep him necessarily if they're just – they've been more and more willing to cut draft picks in recent years, they've shown, pretty much ever since COVID started, kind of. So, yeah, I don't know. It's it'll be interesting. I think those are guys to keep an eye on, especially if Ali's kind of out. And then, just see if we get anything better from the backup quarterbacks than what we got sort of against the Eagles. I think in theory, the Falcons probably a little worse on defense. You know, the Eagles decent, played a few starters. Vic Fangio's up there. I don't know. I have less faith in the Falcons being good. So hopefully they move the ball a little better and you see a little more from them. But I think it's kind of just reinforcing all the things we talked about, with even somehow less starters kind of playing in this game than what we thought, maybe. So it'll be interesting. I'll certainly tune in. I'll be working. I'll be watching, I think. So I don't see what else would be going on that would make me not watch. So I'll have it on, and I'm sure I'll be laughing about whatever comical turnovers the backups manage. But just don't get hurt. Hopefully the offensive line, to Tim's point, kind of maybe irons itself out or solidifies itself further. You know, it would be great, I think, not great, but like if one guy just blew like rep after rep and just like let up like three sacks and you're like, all right, Falele's not a guard, and just kind of solidified all that, maybe that'd be good. But I'm starting to lean to Tim's point of maybe they're Cleveland is the guy and they're just trying to see what else they have, sort of thing. But we'll see. I don't know. They're not going to, I doubt John Harbaugh is going to say anytime soon. So just kind of worth it to keep sort of watching, and hopefully they stand strong and they bring as many good linemen into the season as they can, because outside of cornerback, that seems to be a constant area of injury and concern for this team. So can't have any too many healthy linemen.
Jace, you already mentioned this at some point, but I'm going to mention it again. Backup quarterback, that's what I want to see. They will get every rep. Lamar Jackson doesn't play in these games. You get every offensive snap to try to show your stuff, show some skills, move the ball downfield, have actual completions to backs and receivers, and I want to see more of it from really specifically Josh Johnson. I don't know what he's going to show me now as a 38-year-old suddenly turning the page, but I want to feel a little bit more comfortable in that position going into the start of the season. That's going to do it for us here. So we will be back next week. Don't forget, Saturday, a noon kickoff Eastern. Ravens, Falcons.
Big noon kickoff
of the preseason. Yeah, got a few more weeks until some bigger things start taking those time slots. But for now, this is what we have, and we will very likely be watching. The line for you degenerates out there: Ravens -1, whatever that means.
Don't bet on that.
That'll do it. So, some sage advice. Our last note from Tim: Don't bet on NFL preseason game. For Jace Evans and Tim Horsey, I am Antonio Corvera. Thank you for listening to us here on Pod Like a Raven. We will see you next week.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid Jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.